where it's not just a moral failure here and there, but practically all of society is touched by the great horrors of moral calamity. And you know, there's no society, I don't care what history you want to read of the Romans, of the Greeks, of any society that's ever been. They've never built a military strong enough or had an economy great enough to prop up an immoral people. Amen. And so I'll tell you, our morality has a whole lot to do with not only the going on of society, but the great superstructure of everything that we would like to see. Peace is not brought by economy nor by military, but really God blesses people that are moral and straight and holy. And I'd just like to talk to you about a subject, and I hope that the Lord will help me. I want to talk to you here tonight about a subject that I feel is vitally important, that people have to get control of. If they don't get control of it, we as a church can be doomed. Our society is definitely going to be doomed by it. I fear it's going to be our undoing. And I want to preach to you concerning the internet tonight. Amen. And now you got to be careful about the internet. I don't want to sound like a fanatic tonight, but it is so dangerous. It's tempting to just preach against the whole thing. Say, stay away from it. And I realize that there's a lot of things that's dangerous in this world that are good. You know, saws are dangerous, guns are dangerous. There's all kinds of tools that we work with, that you all work with, that you get your job done. If you're not careful with them, they could kill you, really. I mean, tractors are dangerous, cars are dangerous. And so just because it's dangerous doesn't mean that we necessarily have to condemn it completely. But so therefore, if I could look at it as a tool, if I could bring up the fact that it is a tool, it is something that can be used in a way for business, it can be used in a way to help people in their education, in their communication, it might could even be used in a manner to witness and win people to Jesus Christ. I could go on and on, but I hope that you all see by my little introduction that I understand that there's a lot of good things that can be said about the internet. But at the same time, there is so much danger about it, I have to, as a preacher of the gospel, and since it has become so intertwined in our society and so demanding. You know, I was trying to change my long-distance carrier the other day, and I had the telephone company notify MCI that we was quitting them and changing. Well, they notified them, but we kept on getting bills. I went up there and I said, what's going on? I said, well, we faxed them, we notified them, but you're going to have to tell them. So I call them up. You know what? You couldn't notify them by phone. You had to get on the internet and do the deal. And there's so many things that's forcing us to get on the internet. There was some things about my cell phone I was trying to change a little while ago. I couldn't go up there to the store and change it. I couldn't call them up and change it. I had to get on the internet and change it. And so I understand that there are some things that is becoming of necessity. I really wish that it wasn't, in all reality. In some ways, I see the convenience of it. I see the business side of it, people saving money and even possibly saving time. In fact, I'll just be quite truthful with you. I believe if my boys wanted to take courses online, I would rather them go to college at home than to go to college. That's the way I feel about it. And so I see some good things. Y'all convinced of that? I don't, you know, but I'm going to have to preach to you about the bad things here. Because there are times that the internet is definitely wrong, dead wrong. Now, let me start off by telling you that there is a difference between a Bible conviction for everybody, and there are some things that are personal convictions that God deals with us as individuals. Now, there are some things it is wrong for everybody to do. And there are some things that because God knows our makeup, God knows how we are, whether that we're prideful about something, or whether we spend too much time on something, or whether it becomes an inordinate love in our life, where it becomes a god. God deals with us about those things individually, not even about our attitudes, but He may see down the line there's something that we could fall into sin. And so, therefore, do not ever override your conscience. You say, well, but Brother Lloyd, everybody else in the church is doing it. I don't care if everybody else. I don't care if every Christian in the whole world is doing it. And they're going to heaven and being spiritual. If you feel your conscience back up from it, don't you dare override your conscience. Because God knows you. He knows what you can take. He not only sees what makes you proud or what makes you carnal, He also sees down the road. And there may be things right now, even about the internet, you say everybody can do it. Well, you may not be able to. You may not be. In fact, I really believe there's a whole lot of people that shouldn't even have it in their house. A whole lot. Now, I know I'm preaching on the internet. Some of y'all don't even have it. And you say, boy, this is going to be a boring service. It might be. I'm sorry. Judge McNapp may never want to come back again. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, I felt this deep on my heart. But really, even though I'm preaching on the internet, I believe that we are going to explore some principles that not just deal with the internet, but every aspect of our life. And if you'll listen to me, there'll be something in here about sin, something about the family, something about spirituality and prayer. Because there are several things we have to guard our lives. We have to guard our own personal holiness. All right? That's the first thing. Second thing, we have to guard our own spirituality. You got to have standards to guard your prayer life. And I know it has to deal with personal holiness too, but listen, God can convict you of something that could keep you from your prayer time with the Lord. And so I'm just telling you, there is a great danger with this. And I'm going to list you seven things, and there's probably more things than this, but seven things that I feel like while I was praying the other day, I needed to preach to you and talk to you all about here tonight, that would make the internet wrong for people. Now, first of all, it is wrong when you no longer see the danger of the internet. Get rid of it. Go home, don't even think about it, don't even pray about it. Go home, bust your computer, throw it away, call up and cancel whatever internet service you have. Get rid of it and don't go back to it. If you don't see the danger of it, you've gotten too familiar with it. You've gotten so used to it, you think that anybody that would preach about it is silly. And if you think the internet is not a dangerous thing, then I tell you, you are in danger right now. And like that old shop teacher in high school, he said, see these fingers? He said, the reason I have my fingers is because every time I picked up the saw, I realized it could cut them off. He had a tool in his hand that was useful and wonderful, but he never lost the idea that that was a dangerous tool. And I want to preach to you, if you ever get to the idea where you think that the tool of the internet is not a dangerous thing, then you just need to get rid of it right now. Go to the library, go to a friend's house, and do whatever necessary things you have to do, but I'm telling you, you need to get rid of it. And I don't know why anybody would allow their children to have it in their rooms unsupervised without a filter. I think you're an idiot if you do that. I think you're as stupid as a pocket full of rocks. Now, I'm just telling you, I wonder if you really love your children at all. I mean, give them a .44 Magnum and tell them it won't hurt them and send them out and just say, point it anywhere, shoot at anything, and it won't matter. But do not let your children alone on the internet. You say, Brother Lloyd, that is stupid what you just said about a .44 Magnum. Hey, it's not as dumb as turning a kid loose on the internet with no accountability and with no filter. 12% of the total internet is pornography. 420 million web pages. Buddy, that's a lot. The average age of first internet exposure to pornography, 11 years old. 9 to 16 year olds who have viewed online pornography, 9 to 16, 90%. 90%? Oh, there's no danger. I'll tell you what. You are ignorant if you think there's no danger to it. You need to get rid of it. I'm telling you, you need to get rid of it if you think there is no danger to it. Get rid of it. Make up in your mind. You don't have to pray about it. Don't have to go any further in my list. All you have to do is say, I've went stupid. It's not dangerous anymore. I got to get rid of it. Okay? I got to get my brain back before I can... and get this internet deal. Hey, y'all still love me? All right. 15 to 17 year olds that have having multiple hardcore exposures, hardcore pornography. 80%. Now, you think that's not dangerous? I'm telling you, Ted Bundy killed 28 people and he blamed it on when he was 13 years old starting to look at pornography. Don't tell me this isn't dangerous. Don't tell me that children cannot see something that will stay with them the rest of their lives that could pervert their whole mentality about the sexual experience. They could pervert their whole mentality to where it's no longer something sacred and holy in marriage. And I'm not going to get into that, but I'm just telling you, it could change everything about somebody's life. It is a dangerous thing. And if you don't agree, you need to just surrender right now and say, I'm going to get rid of my internet, because it is dangerous. Second thing is when it takes up your time in an inordinate manner. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That redeeming means to buy back. Let's buy back as much time as we can. And here we've got people nowadays that can surf the web and look here and there and look to be looking and look to find something new and go through the trash dumpsters of each website to try to find something funny or something nice or something cute and find the latest gossip on this web page and find the latest this and that and the other. And all of a sudden they've done that all Wednesday day and they, oh, I've got chores. You know what church time's for? It's chores. Church time's for work. It's for the stuff that I should have been doing when I was looking at the internet. Let me tell you something. That is a sin. You spend time on the internet and don't pray, and all of a sudden the day is gone, and you say, I don't have time to pray, and you've been looking at some of those silly websites that have no bearing on your business. That's not a tool. It's not a learning thing. It's just entertainment. Let me tell you something. When you cross the line from a tool to entertainment, you are on super duper dangerous territory right there. Amen. I don't think that line ought to ever be crossed over. I really don't. Amen. It's a tool. It's something for business, education. I'll tell you what, you get to playing with it, you're going to kill somebody. You're going to get damaged yourself. And brothers and sisters, I felt this really on my heart. When people get married to this thing, you know there are articles in the world now about people who have internet addictions, about how much time that they spend on there trying to find something to spark their interest. Let me tell you, people's got to be bored. Isn't there something better to do than just searching on that thing to try to find something? I realize that there's some people that they can save time by ordering stuff on the internet, not going to town and so on. Okay. But listen to me. When you've got time for the internet, but you hadn't got time for your family, and you hadn't got time for church, and you hadn't got time to pray, and you hadn't got time for God's word, let me tell you something. It's time to shut that thing down. It's way overdue. These internet addiction type articles that they're talking about, you know what they're saying? People that spend too much time on the internet, they become distant from their families. They become somewhat angry, depressed, grouchy about getting along with people. You know why? It's not natural. It's not a relationship. Typing on the internet and going to these blog spots and, amen, typing back and forth. I'm just telling you, that's not a real relationship. Why would somebody rather be at home blogging with the backsliders than in church worshiping God? Amen. Oh, glory. I'm telling you, there is a need of people to arise that says, my time is more valuable than this. The only way we're going to have a revival in our church, and the only way we're going to have a revival in our community and a revival in our homes, is for time to be spent worshiping God. Amen. Time to be spent with each other. Time to be spent on the important things. Now, I realize I'm talking about the internet, but listen, that time principle can be just about anything, can it? You've got to spend time with God in order to really know God. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible talks about the love of the world. And I want to read you this, although I think I could probably quote it, but 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now let's just see if this is worldly to you or not. When you're on it, after you're on it, do you love God more or less or the same? If it doesn't take away your love of God, then maybe you're handling it all right. But I'm telling you, if your love of God is less, that's a worldly thing to you. Because when you love the world, the Bible says the love of God's not in you. Amen? John Wesley's mother told him, anything that diminishes your love of God is worldly. And if it's not worldly to anybody else, it's to you because you've got an inordinate love for it. In these studies I've been reading and hearing about on the radio and in a CD that I was listening to, it said that these people get into a virtual world and real people are shut out of their lives. They've got to check their email. They've got to go here. They've got to check out this latest. Their interest is in a fake world. Amen. With fake things. Amen. And they're ignoring the real in their life. Oh, there's a many marriages in trouble because people are more in love with what they're seeing on the internet than what they can really have a real experience with right there at home. Oh, glory be to God. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost here. Amen. Oh, when the people can spend hours and hours on the internet, but church bores them. When they can spend hours and hours on the internet, but conversation with their husband or wife bores them. Amen. When children, their children are of no interest and get in their way, and yet whatever is on that website captivates them. Let me tell you, you have an inordinate love for something that is not real. I mean, it's like a fake world. It's a, what can I use there? What cyber world? It's a fantasy. It's a fantasy. People get on there and they can fake what they are and act like they're something they're not. And they can get on there and say things more comfortable, amen, when that they're typing it out than if they were face to face. And I just want you to understand, there are things that are hidden, they think, that will be seen before the whole world on the day of judgment. When it hinders your love for God or your family, when your heart becomes calloused, when there is a distance between you and God, when there is a distance between you and your family, let me tell you something, my friend. You have set up a wrong love in your life. It's time to tear it down. Amen. Amen. When it hinders your morality. Now, you may think that I'm just talking about these pornography sites and so on. And I'm definitely referring to that. But you know what really begins to hinder your morality? When you're no longer outraged about certain sins that you used to be outraged about. When you become so familiar with it. When you bump into it so much. And it becomes so common, your conscience doesn't scream out anymore. You become more and more dead to what's sinful. Because that sin does abound, iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. And if, because of your constant being on the internet, you're constantly bumping into sin and seeing sin and this and that and other, let me tell you, if it is dulling the edge, the sharp edge of your conscience, if it's dulling the sharp edge of your conscience, it's become wrong to you. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I get on YouTube and just go through the garbage until I find something funny. Let me tell you something. You get to dulling your conscience. Oh, God. Oh, God. That is just the first step. Amen. That's just the first step. When it dulls your conscience, and then all of a sudden you begin to view things you never thought you would view. If we could take what you said a few years ago and play it back to you, all of a sudden you'd realize, little by little by little, I have slipped away from earlier convictions I had of morality. Amen. There was a German soldier who gave an account. He said, I went in with my soldiers and with the captain. He said, I saw them take and abuse a woman. He said, I was shocked. I was horrified. I was sick. I couldn't eat anything for days. I couldn't sleep. The next time I saw it, it didn't bother me quite so bad, and little by little, until he became one of them. My friends, we are becoming a society where people are becoming deader and deader and deader and deader and deader. And I have no idea where this society is heading to. Well, you're right, it's heading to hell. But before everybody goes to hell in the judgment, let me tell you, there's some bad things going to happen right here on this earth. I have no idea where this society is going, where pornography and wickedness and lewdness is so easily accessible. There was a time that you had to go to the store and buy it. You risked being caught. There was a time that somebody was going to know about it. And now you have the idea that I can get away with it. Let me tell you, you're not going to get away with it. I felt in prayer about this message a few days ago. God's going to expose some things if you don't get it on the altar. There was a preacher, brother. Well, I guess it don't care. He don't care if I tell it. Brother Wilburn Thompson down in Dundee, Florida. He got to praying and God told him, three men in his church looking at internet on the computer, and he got up and told them, said, God showed me there was three of you watching pornography on the internet. And he said, if you don't come down to this altar and pray, I'm going to expose you before the church right now. And they came. You know what? It'd be better to have that than to go to the judgment with its secret and me think you're a wonderful person and your wife or your husband think you're a wonderful person and you die lost and go to hell. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, pornography is not some little failure, not some little slip up. It is a perversion. It does strange things to your brain and the way you're thinking. Even scientists have studied the effects of pornography on the brain and said it has some of the similar effects of somebody on cocaine at the same time. Cocaine is destructive. I have no idea what people, you know, they've got these pictures of folks that's been on meth, but I wonder about the destructive ways of pornography. Oh, great Lord in heaven, help us right now to understand this is a dangerous thing. Amen. It spiritually imperils many, many people. You husbands and wives, you'd better keep yourself accountable. Amen. This is not a matter where you can just say, well, I'm good enough, everybody should trust me. If you trust yourself, you're silly. There is a certain amount, the Apostle Paul said that we should examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And Paul said, listen, you need to have a little bit of a time where you examine yourself from time to time. It sounds to me like there shouldn't be a place of overconfidence in our lives. Amen. The fifth thing, when it's wrong, is when it becomes a bridge to break other holiness standards that we've stood against for years. You know, I can go back, you know, any people, it doesn't matter if they were Calvinist, Arminian, Wesleyan, whatever, that believed in holy living, always preached against the theater. Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher of bygone years. And there was a big preacher from across town that preached a message on the earnestly contending for the faith. And he got up the next Sunday. He said, I heard about Mr. Parker's message on earnestly contending for the faith. And he said, I don't see how he could, since his faith takes him to the theater and mine won't let me go to the theater. I wonder if they cussed and took God's name in vain at the theater in the 1800s. I wonder if they kissed passionately and had bedroom scenes in the theater in the 1800s. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter. And he was a Baptist preacher. It doesn't matter if you're talking about him or Wesley or any. All down through history, the church has stood against the theater. And the church stood against the movies in the beginning. And then the church stood against TV in the beginning. And the holiness people at least stood against movies in the home in the beginning through VCR and DVDs. And I still stand against them. Amen. Y'all can do whatever you want to. You're going to stand before God, and I am too, and I'm your pastor, and he's going to ask me, what'd you preach to them people? And I'm going to tell you, bringing Hollywood home is worse than having it out there in the movie house. I'd rather have a rattlesnake out in the woods than to have it in my house. Amen? Amen. You're bringing it home. You're bringing sin into your home. And that's a... Listen, if you hadn't heard me preach on TV and so on, I've got a message that they still sell back there, I think, why I don't have a TV. And you can listen to it if you want. You never heard something like that. But I'm telling you, movies. Movies is the devil's mind pollution right in your home. And if you are using the internet to watch TV or go to the movies, it's wrong. It's a sin. I mean, you say, well, I don't have it. I'm okay. Whatever. You can say whatever you want to. The truth of the matter is God knows what you're doing. Amen. And if you're not holiness on the internet, you're not holiness. When it leads to talk that's ungodly, it's wrong. You know, people say things. And I realize telephones, and can I say this? We've preached against passing notes and all kinds of stuff in church. I'm against text messaging in church. Amen? There ain't no use in that. Now, if you've got your phone there because you're waiting for maybe an urgent deal or whatever... But listen, this is the house of God. We got to be reverent. We got to pay attention to God, what God is saying, what God is doing. And we don't have any room for such distraction as that. Right here, it's all God that we're going to pay attention to. And so, when it leads to people talking in a gossiping way, spreading rumors, talking back and forth in a flirtatious, sensual way. You know, people get on the internet and say things in a flirtatious way they might not say in a crowd. And then they get to doing it on the internet, and it becomes easier to say in a crowd. The devil breaks down people's guard by doing that. And I want to preach to you that it is a sin for a man and a woman that's not married to get to talking on the internet just like it would be for them to go out on a date. Amen. Oh, you get to talking dirty and sensual and filthy. Let me preach to you. Amen. I don't care how joking it is. You stay away from that flirtatious spiritual wickedness and adultery that people get to doing in people's minds and with their words. Oh, great Lord in heaven. Amen. It is wrong when people do not understand the spirituality of the internet. I believe that in all reality, the internet will somehow be used in the Antichrist kingdom to govern the economy and no telling what all else. Now, it doesn't mean that it's wrong necessarily, but there has to be a spiritual element to this right now. There has to be, because, you know, you say, well, it's nothing, Brother Lloyd. Well, money's nothing, but the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. It's neutral in a way. It can be used for good or evil. But if you love it, there's nothing that will keep you back from using it for sin or doing something to get it that's sinful. And I want to preach to you right now, the love of the internet's the root of all kinds of evils. There's all kinds of stuff people will do and all kinds of bondages that people get into through the internet. And if I could preach to you here today, we not only need to realize how this is affecting us, but how will it affect the next generation? How How shall it affect the next generation of Fairlanders? We are loose, if we're loose with it, if we're not real tight with it, I tell you, it'd be better to be overboard on it than to be too loose on it. Yes, it would. You're not going to lose by having some strong convictions about things. You're not going to lose by it. I will tell you, this next generation can lose if we're not careful about this. Because listen, we not only have to guard our own personal holiness and our own personal morality and our own personal ideas about our family and so on in our church. We have to guard our prayer life and our spirituality, because we have to have revival. There are people right here in Falk that we love dearly, that if we don't have a Holy Ghost praying revival, they're going to be lost forever and go to hell. Amen. And if we fool away our time on the internet and don't have revival, how's it going to be for us on the day of judgment? My brothers and sisters, I see it as a tool that sometimes we have to use of necessity. I'll tell you this, there is something more essential than the internet, and that is revival. We need revival. We need people saved. We need people living holy. We need folks praying through to the power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need miracles. There's people that need a miracle here tonight, and we gotta have a Holy Ghost church to pray down that miracle. Oh, we need the power of God to raise up a standard against the devil again. Amen. And when the standard's low in the home, it's not going to be high in the church. We need more of a power, amen, than even our dress standard to combat the powers of hell. We got to have an end time Holy Ghost anointing from heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. We got to get some things done. We really do. And we're going to have to judge what's really important. Are your children important? I believe they are. Is revival important? I believe it is. And brothers and sisters, whatever we do, we have to have revival. Amen. Could we all stand? Oh, Heavenly Father, I feel your spirit here tonight. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you. God.
Oh,
amen. How many would agree with me, revival is the most important thing of our day? We need revival. Amen. Let's come around this altar. I feel a spirit of prayer. Could we make up our mind we're going to pray and tarry and ask the Lord? Ask the Lord. Listen. Ask the Lord about things I said. Don't just ask the Lord about this and what convictions you need to have in your own heart. Oh, God. Let's seek the Lord tonight. Let's seek Him while He may be found. God's wanting revival. And listen, your family needs you. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God.
My God, my Jesus.
Again. once again. If the church called by his name would humble down and seek his face and turn from all their wicked ways, then he would hear. Again.